line, Willie DeMays, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live. And we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. And hey, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 5 of college football and week 4 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Look, football is a sport. It's coach and quarterback. Coach and quarterback always get way too much of the praise. Coach and quarterback always get way too much of the blame. That's just the nature of it, especially in the National Football League. Even if it's not the coach's fault, let's say, you know, Sean Payton might get fired in Denver just because he wasn't able to unlock what Russell Wilson was 5-10 years ago. Is that Sean Payton's fault? Maybe, maybe not, but he'll probably get fired because of it. I'm noticing a lot of blame going to Ryan Tannehill because when you are 1-9 in your last 10, of course the coach and the quarterback are going to get too much of the blame. But when I look at that game on Sunday against the Browns, I cannot dish out any of the blame to Ryan Tannehill, because my question, if you are blaming Ryan Tannehill, is what did you expect from him? What did you want from him? This line stinks and they're going up against the best defensive line in all of the NFL. But looking at Dan Graziano's most recent overreactions, he has this every Monday, Tuesday, whatever day it is, after the NFL slate, he has his overreactions. Are those truly overreactions, or are they, you know, a fair assessment of where this team is? One of his overreactions is, will Levis be the Tennessee Titans starting quarterback by November? He says that is not an overreaction. And he says, look, I'll give credit to the fact that the Browns' defense is absolutely legit. But he looks and says that Tannehill may not be long for his current job. He's making a very reasonable $27 million this year and could be a trade option for a quarterback-needy team at the trade deadline. What do you think about it? Well, will Levis be the starting quarterback for the Tennessee Titans by November? Because I say no way.
Well, no way? Like, if they're 1-6?
Even if, is he even a backup?
Yeah, who is the backup? That's
seems like Malik Willis is the backup right now, so he would have to jump over Malik Willis and then become the starter. 6 games? No.
And how many games would it be on October 31st? 7?
Because I'd say no, because say if they are 1-5 or 1-6, they still have an opportunity, depending on how the division is. They still have an opportunity.
That is fair. If everybody else's team is 3-4, which
exactly
could happen,
then we still got an opportunity. Yeah. So I can't then throw my season away.
But we can't say no way.
Yeah, we can't
because
say
that may
no
not
way
be the case.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
No, I mean, it all depends
on. I said this in the summer, by the way.
Yeah. It all depends on where they are at after 7 games and where the division is at after 7 games.
It's also about how was Ryan Tannehill playing? Because Ryan Tannehill couldn't do anything against the Browns and it wasn't his fault. It was the rest of this team.
Okay, well let's give that hypothetical. Uh-huh. Let's say he's playing pretty well. Mm-hmm. And they're 1-6. Or 2-5, whatever it is, but they're out of it. Okay, Jacksonville goes on a roll, something like that.
Or Indianapolis, because they lead the division right now.
Crazy things happen in this league. Mm-hmm. I don't see that, but it could. It could. You never know. Then I think you are doing yourself a disservice of not looking at the market. Would somebody offer you a decent return for Ryan Tannehill? Because look at the Jets. Like the Jets are absolutely desperate. If they're in the same predicament in a few weeks and looking around going, you know what, if we had a good quarterback, we could still be in this thing. Take advantage of a team that's desperate.
How desperate
like that
are you? First round pick desperate? Now that's a different conversation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You'd be doing yourself a disservice because there's only so many times you can keep in the mode of, we can make it. We can win this division. We can be 9-8. We can be 10-7. Especially if you're looking around, the Chiefs are still the Chiefs. You got this Dolphin juggernaut that's come, that's moving. So you have to look at the landscape and where are you? It was not a no-brainer for the Predators. They could have been stubborn last year and held out and tried to see if they could make it. But they didn't. They assessed themselves, you know, a couple weeks before the trade deadline. Said, you know what? At the end of the day, we're not good enough. We got to make some trades. So I just wonder, if they get into that mode, right, it's a fair discussion to have. So, you know, predicting it now is That's getting way ahead because they're 1-2. They're not 1-4. They're not 1-6. But in a hypothetical, which I think that's what Graziano's hypothetical is, mm-hmm. if they got to that point, trading Tannehill or saying to yourself, look, we're not going anywhere. Let's see what the young guys can do, and we'll just try to sort it out and see where we are at the end of the year. That's possible. It's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying that would – you'd be a fool not to do that if you're 1-6 and say, no, we're still okay. We can get back into this thing.
But again, it just depends on how the division is shaking out. If there's a clear-cut winner, then, you know, those are the decisions that are going to have to be made. And, you know, it's a hard one for GM, you know, front office to make in the middle of the season, you know, conceding that your season is over and now you're going to the backup, whoever that is.
You wave the white flag.
Yeah, whatever. Whether
but that's
Will
okay.
Levis
that's
or
okay.
Malik Willis. I'm not saying.
If
I'm
that's
not saying
the best move at
yeah,
the time.
I'm not
I'll
saying
give you another
it's a
one.
Bad thing.
What if Arthur Smith and the Falcons, Desmond Ridder's not panning out, but they could win that division and they're at the trade deadline and Arthur Smith's going, man, if I had Ryan Tannehill, we could be pretty good. That's the kind of phone call that I cannot turn down if I'm Rand Carthon. If my team is struggling mm-hmm. and I look around and read the room and say, you know what, this team's not good enough. And I'm not saying they're at that point right now, but all these people that are calling out saying the team's terrible, the offensive line's terrible, it didn't look very good the other day, okay? So if they're still there in a month, then why would you do anything differently?
Well,
why wouldn't you just try to go in a different direction?
My thing is if this is what you are going to do or potentially do, then why stop at the quarterback? If you're saying
you shouldn't.
Our season is done and we're going to try to, one, build back up draft capital.
Which they desperately need.
Which they need and alleviate some of the, you know, cap hit or monies that we would owe for the remainder of the year, allow somebody else to take on some of it. Yeah, we would probably – you know, I guess up until that point, you would have paid majority of the contracts out. So they would just take on the second half of the contract. So why don't you just, if indeed that's the case, just, hey, it's a yard sale. It is a yard sale. That's what we're having now. We're at a point where we're not going to win the division, which means we're not going to make the playoffs. We need draft capital. It's a yard sale. So whatever you want, show me. There are a few people that are off limits. One of them is Jeffrey Simmons.
Right.
He's off limits. That's the one guy that is
like
off
UC Soros
limits.
And Romagnosi were off
They're
limits.
They're off limits. Yeah. Him, he's off limits. And maybe, I don't know, Peter Skoronski or,
exactly.
I don't know,
trading
Burke.
You're not trading your own guys.
You're
absolutely.
Not trading. My young guys are off.
But veterans
but veteran
that have
guys,
won,
which
have
one,
been part of a winning
is, which
team.
Which one of these guys you want?
Yeah, exactly.
Which one?
If I'm Amy, you've got some questions to be asked if that's going to be the case.
Why?
But
you couldn't see this possibility?
This
if
had
Amy,
exactly.
Amy
this
has,
had to be a possibility.
If I'm
if
Amy,
she,
I'm building a new stadium and I'm asking for money
but,
from
the okay,
people
what's
the
quickest
new,
way to be good?
Exactly.
For a new stadium
when, so
stadium
I might as well dump it now.
You, so
you,
gotta,
you told me you were going for it this year. You told me you wanted to win this year and now you're selling everything off and we're going to be absolutely horrendous and we're setting
how,
a reset button?
Again.
Of course the owner's going to have questions.
How did
but
I,
that's the fastest way to have a good team for the new stadium.
My thing is.
There's no guarantee.
I never thought this team was going for it. Even when they went and got DeAndre Hopkins, I never thought this team was going for it.
Right. They
hedged.
Wanted
it.
They hedged.
They wanted to continue to be competitive and try to win their division,
I think
possibly.
That's going for it.
Going for it for me is there's a shot to win a Super Bowl. We're going for it.
It's right down the middle.
Well,
it's right down the middle.
Out of the realm
you're trying
of
to do a little bit of both.
Yeah, going for it to me isn't, okay, we're going to get this guy so we can win our division. Knowing good and well, once we possibly get in the playoffs, then that's where the buck stops.
You're
going
not drafting Will Levis.
Yeah. Going for it for me is we're going for it like they did when they went and got Julio Jones. They said, we're going
they
for it.
They went and got DeAndre
that,
Hopkins?
But that's not going. When they went and got
Why
Julio.
Why is Julio and DeAndre different?
Because Julio, in their mind, was that last piece. If you tell
and they
me.
Traded a draft pick.
If
they traded a second round pick.
If you tell me that they thought DeAndre Hopkins was the last piece to them going for it, then. I need to be smoking what you smoking. I need to be eating what you eating.
I think we're getting into the semantics of what going for it means, because the Titans were trying to win. They were trying to stay in that mode.
It was a balance. It was a balance. You don't draft Will Levis if you're going for it. If you're going for it, you draft a receiver. You draft something of need for this year's team.
I don't think they were ever going
with
they
that
were,
pick.
They were.
You don't trade.
They
up wanted
were trying
to
win the Super Bowl. They were trying to win.
They wanted to win the Super Bowl, well, like
course,
every other team
but
does.
Let's be realistic. But they were trying to win games.
But with an eye on the future, they didn't reshuffle contracts. They didn't kick more and have more dead money. They have $39 million of dead money, which is eighth most in the league. It would only be worse if they had reshuffled Kevin Byard's contract or then gone over to, Derrick Henry. Hey, let's give you three more years. You know, we'll worry about it later. That's what the Saints do, right? They didn't want to do that. So they're right in between. They didn't rebuild, but they were not full on go for it.
The Saints look like they're probably in a better position than you are right now.
Because the division's awful.
But again, it boils down to
watch where the Saints are in the next few years.
AFC South is awful too.
But if you say by the trade deadline we're out of it, you know, then why wouldn't you sort of make it a yard sale in a sense? Tell me what you would give for this player or this player. If it's not what I want, then okay, fine. We'll keep the player, but If it's sounding interesting, okay, keep talking. Because right now, these players that we have, you might be doing them a justice. A Kevin Byard, a Derrick Henry. You might be doing them justice, a Ryan Tannehill. Allowing them to go on another team and potentially getting to the playoffs and potentially winning a Super Bowl. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. But if you get to a point where you're 1-6 and you're out of it, then there are moves that you need to try to make in order to get that draft capital back, and you're dumping those salaries and allow – because you figure, I'm going to get rid of these guys anyway at the end of the season, so why not try to get something for them?
They also traded a seventh rounder for Nick Falk.
Which was a great move. In retrospect, that was the best move of the offseason.
I did that. That's
no, that was
I'm
the best that. Move up until now.
It's been the best move of the offseason.
Good. Some of the other ones, I'm not sure. The draft picks they traded.
Right to your phones.
There was one for Dennis Daly.
Phones on this coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tomorrow for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6:30 p.m. on the road against rival Western Kentucky. Pre-game beginning at 5:30 p.m. You can hear all the coverage on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Promise your phones, so to your phones we will go. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Like I'm saying, Ryan Tannehill deserves zero blame for the loss against the Browns. Now, the Saints, that's a different story. But there was just simply nothing that Ryan Tannehill could have done. But Dylan is on the line with a thought on the Tennessee Titans. What's up, Dylan?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not much. What's going on?
I just had a question for you guys, because I asked the morning show this, and I just wanted to get y'all's opinion on it as well. So how much of an impact do you think, like, the lack of signing players to second contracts is affecting the current team? Because we've had the past few years we've had rough drafts, and out of those drafts, the picks that we did hit on that were good or great, you know, some of them we let go. We don't even sign them to second contracts, and then we fail to fill the voids that they left behind. And I feel like it just snowball effects continuously. So just wanted to get y'all's opinions on that.
Thank you.
We talked about this.
We have talked about this a number of times. We brought up Conklin a number of times. We brought up Corey Davis a number of times.
Jonnu Smith.
Mm-hmm. You do wonder, right? And this is all woulda, coulda, shoulda, hindsight 2020. Another thing, you know what popped in my head is what I showed you guys. I was surprised. Mm-hmm. We were talking about corners and Christian Fulton earlier today. You know who's making – you know who's the biggest, according to SpotRack, the biggest cap hit, and there's different ways you get to this, right? It's prorated salary, signing bonus, all these things. So I'm not saying this guy is the best cornerback in the league, but you know who has the biggest cap hit in the NFL at cornerback? Adoree Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
There's another guy that the Titans basically said, first-round pick, do we use the fifth-year option? No. Mm-hmm. And you understood why at the time. It was frustrating. He couldn't stay healthy. There was all of that. And they moved on. He's been a pretty good pickup for the Giants. Fair?
No.
He's making a lot of money.
Yeah, he's making a lot of money, that's for certain. But there's a lot of players in this league that make a whole lot of money that maybe shouldn't.
Right, but I don't think Titans fans would sit there and go, okay, if you could wave the magic wand, should you bring Adoree Jackson back? Based on your history of watching Adoree Jackson, a lot of people would say, no, I don't.
Right.
That was the right move at the time.
I don't think anyone disagreed with it at the time.
And there was not an outcry at all.
Everyone
like, of
looked
course
at
we're
it,
not bringing Adoree Jackson back.
Right. Everyone looked at it like, that was actually kind of a bad pick. Like, we have no issues with
19.076 against the cap this year.
Well, to answer, Dylan's question, was that Dylan that was on?
Yeah.
Dylan's question. I'm not going to sit here and say every guy that they didn't sign to a second contract is the reason why they are where they are. What I can say is you didn't sign A.J. Brown to a second contract. You traded him. I don't think you signed Nate Davis to a second contract. And Nate Davis is playing well. Yeah, Nate Davis is David Long Jr. You didn't sign him to a contract.
There's a long list.
You talked about the hamstring issues, but you kept a cornerback that is still dealing with those hamstring issues that was drafted a year after, I believe, David Long.
But are they going to keep him next year?
They're not going to keep him next year.
You're not going to trade, a guy like Christian Fulton.
Let me see who else. Rashad Evans, that was a whole different story, but you didn't sign him to a second contract.
That's
Corey
true.
Davis, you didn't sign him to a second contract. Jonnu Smith, you didn't sign him to a second contract. Really, the only person that you signed to a second contract that's worth anything, obviously.
Conklin.
They didn't sign Conklin to a second contract.
They did not.
No, they didn't.
I thought you said that you didn't sign to.
No, I said you did. Jeffrey Simmons, you signed to a contract.
Derrick Henry,
that you signed. Kevin Byard, that you signed to a second contract. These are guys that you drafted.
Harold Landry.
Harold Landry is another. So you got four guys. Out of the last,
I'm trying to,
and I could be wrong. The numbers, LaJuan is in there too, but LaJuan's no longer on the team.
Yeah,
but if you go back, let's just say 6 years, there hasn't been many guys that you've signed back to contract,
and a lot of them have been debatable, right? You could have argued one way or the other. Like we just said, Adoree Jackson was pretty at the time going, I think that's the right move.
They made the right move.
There was some debate, and you were the one loudly debating it, that Corey Davis was worth bringing
Corey
back.
Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. Again, people look at them and say, well, what did they do with the Jets? What did they do with what is he doing with New England?
Mm-hmm.
And you have a valid point because neither one of them are earning what their contract – one of them just retired in Corey Davis. But with this team, they were perfect for this team.
That's why
and
sometimes
what they were doing for this team, you can leave one system, go to another system, and we've seen it in the NFL where another guy signs a big contract somewhere else and it doesn't work out for him for whatever reason.
I think the player is at fault because the agent's saying, "Oh, you'll get way more on the offseason." And John Robinson, I remember at the time with Corey Davis and. Jonnu Smith. He said, "Look, congratulations. You guys are going to go to the market. You're going to get a great deal from somebody." Sometimes the player does need to sit and say, "Wait a minute. I fit really well here. There's no taxes here. Maybe I'm better off taking a little less to stay here." There is a little bit of that, and if that never happens, then I think the player sometimes you're sitting there going, "Why didn't it work out when they went to so and so?" Well, you should have thought about it. You were a good fit where you were.
Nah.
And at a certain point, we have to stop crying over spilled milk of John Robinson's missed draft picks.
No, this isn't even about John Robinson.
I think overall, we've seen the effects of trying to go cheap on certain positions. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to sign Jack Conklin to that second contract. You didn't want to go out and sign a better option at left tackle. You chose a backup from the Eagles roster on the cheap, and you're seeing how it's affecting your team. But Scott in Hendersonville is on the line with a thought on Christian Fulton. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, you guys were talking right before Hutton came on, and I tried to get to you then. But, the question was asked when talking about, what do you do with Fulton? Who else you got? Who else you got? You're going to put it out there on Jamar Chase. And there's a really easy answer to that. It's Roger McCreary. That's who else you got. He's the best corner on the team by far. And I can understand ideally, in a perfect world, they want him to be an inside corner. He's not as tall. He's not as fast. His arms aren't as long. But he's a much better corner. And he guarded Jamar Chase in college and didn't shut him down, but held him way under
average. Nobody guarded Jamar Chase in college, really.
Well, I mean, he did it.
I mean, how many people?
LSU grad.
Well, and Christian Fulton did a whole lot of more blocking of Ja'Marr Chase than anyone else did.
He's off the field way too much as it is. You look out there and he's on the bench, and Avery or Molden is on the outside, and it doesn't make any sense. But no. He needs to be out there on the field guarding the other team's best receiver, and they're not using him that way. And he's much better than Fulton. I don't care if he's an inch shorter or his arms are 2 inches shorter. He's a 0.1 second. You know, he's a better corner, better technique, better instincts. Mm-hmm. So that's one easy fix that can make the defense better right there.
Thanks for your call, Scott. Appreciate it.
Listen, Scott's not wrong. I think Roger is he's the most consistent corner they have. Now, if you're talking about potential, then Christian Fulton may be that guy, and hence that's why he's probably still out there. But if you're just talking about being consistent and a guy that you can rely on, I think Roger McCreary is that. And this is sometimes where coaches and other players, analysts, we all sort of get in trouble with, that we have a guy that's consistent at what he does, good play, but we always look over with the guy that has the talent and the potential but hadn't put it all together. So we rather, you know, keep the light on him and not necessarily forget about the guy that's consistent, but we always know, oh, he's going to be there. He's consistent. Well, give that guy an opportunity to show you that his consistency will lead to better play at that position, because the caller isn't wrong. Mm-hmm. As we have seen, Roger McCreary is he's a consistent DB. He's tough. He may not be the tallest. He may not be the fastest, but he's tough. He's gritty. He fights. That's what he does. If I know it's a hard decision for the coaching staff to make, but at this point, what choice has Fulton given you? Vrabel, they asked the question, and Vrabel basically gave you the answer. He hesitated for about 3 or 4 seconds, mm-hmm. and then he said, do your job.
Yeah. Here's my thought on it. Whoever you put on Ja'Marr Chase, they're going to lose.
Yeah.
He's Ja'Marr freaking Chase. He's one of the best receivers in the National Football League. I don't care if it's Roger McCreary. I don't care if it's Christian Fulton. I don't care if it's Trey Avery. I don't care. They're going to lose. I think the most important thing is, one, who can you put on Ja'Marr Chase that's not going to get a flag? Because that's Christian Fulton's problem. Mm-hmm. So if you don't trust Christian Fulton to not get those DPI or holding calls, then don't put him on Ja'Marr Chase. Put whoever you want on him. Just get to the quarterback. That's where this Titans, you know, defensive strength really lies. And if it's a Joe Burrow that is, you know, out there hobbling on one calf, that makes your job that much easier.
That's what the Rams did. They basically backed up. They said, we'll give you some short stuff. Mm-hmm. Ja'Marr Chase caught 11 passes, I think, but he was targeted a bunch, but they held him to like 11 yards per catch. They didn't.
Yeah.
They did let him get – he got 43 on one.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I thought it was a sound defensive game plan. The Rams gave themselves a chance. That might be the best way to cover them, especially given the defensive backs you have.
Right back into your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Hey, check out the great offers for Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Deals include half off a $20 gift card for Elliston Place Soda Shop, Campioni's Taste of Chicago, Calabria Brick Oven Pizzeria, and so much more. So visit thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Look, we can all agree, the Titans are in a bad place right now. Titans are in a bad place. We got a lot of people who want to blame the quarterback. I get it. I understand it. I disagree. There's just only so much that Ryan Tannehill can do when you've got Myles Garrett just frothing at the mouth, hungry for the quarterback. You can blame the coach. You can blame the offensive line. You can blame the secondary. All is on the table. But we'll get you our thoughts on that. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris is on the line with a thought on the Titans. What's up, Chris?
Hi. Your local Titans and Truth is in the building.
Chris, how we doing?
You know, it's been pretty good. D-Maze, Mr. Willie, how y'all doing?
Great. Doing well.
Now, here's my question. I mean, I said this to Jarrett yesterday, and I'm going to prophesize this again. when you look at a when you look at a particular player or two, most of the time it's probably that player that needs to do better. When an entire unit is not looking good, you start looking at either a position coach or you look at the offensive coordinator or the defensive coordinator. The whole team looked bad Sunday and has not looked great all year, so it is time to put it on Mike Vrabel. It is solely on him. It is his job to get this team ready to play, and we didn't. But my question is this. In Caroline, you've said this before. Sometimes in doing something, do you wait, go a year too early or a year too late? And I figure, have we been more proactive? I feel like we've been more of a reactive team to situations like this with the offensive line, for example. Maybe we waited a year too late. We could have gotten rid of Tannehill. Maybe, even though it sounds blasphemous, trade Derrick Henry. I'm not saying we would do that, but I'm just saying as far as D-Mate to say, kind of get some draft capital. Maybe we waited a year too late to do things, and we've been reactive. And I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Chris, you're the best. Appreciate you for calling in.
Because we've had tons of callers and texts, you know, today, the other day. And everybody, it seems like, okay, on the text line, it's blame Tannehill. On the phone line, it's blame somebody else. And then we talk about other things. What that is actually telling everybody is this. This is not a good team. It's just not. Do I want this team to be better? Yes. Do they have time to get better? Yes, because it's early in the season. But where does that better come from? If we were just isolating one thing, then okay. But we said the offensive line. Some people called in about the quarterback, the secondary. You know, Harold Landry isn't playing the way that, you know. But Harold sort of has an excuse, a built-in excuse. But still, they're not getting the production from that side of the defensive line, which I think hampers the line in general. So we have we're pointing at all these things, which should tell us this is just not a good team at this point of the season right now. You can throw the blame on anybody you want to throw it on. Vrabel, Kelly, Shane Bowen, Amy. I mean, I can't blame Amelie Rand out of this one for this year.
Right, but if you're Rand, you have to be, look, this is what I've been dealt.
Yeah, but Rand.
And you have to read and react
exactly
over the next month, because that's when the trade deadline's coming. You have to say, look, show me you're a good team.
Exactly. What do you do as a GM, you know, as we start getting closer and closer to that trade deadline? Where are we as a team? And you're right, just like David Poyle did, show me, should I make trades or should I not make trades? Y'all need to tell me. Well, we saw what happened with the Nashville Predators. They made their trades.
They sold.
They were like, hey, listen, we tried. We gave y'all an opportunity. Didn't happen. I think in this situation, Rand could be looking at it the same way. Like, y'all show me that we don't need to make moves right before the trade deadline. And they have an opportunity to do that, to show him that we're good. We'll be fine. But, again, it goes back to we're all pointing at different things, which means what? This team is just not as good as we hoped it would be.
And this was the fear while they were deciding not to rebuild, right? Are you good enough to run this back? What's best case scenario?
And I think it gets
That's why this game is big on Sunday, the response after a dud where you don't look like a very good team.
My question is, how fixable are these problems? Because if the issue is the offensive line, okay, what do we do to overcome a bad offensive line? Let's get the ball out quicker. Let's maybe put a couple of more two tight end sets in there so we can have, you know, six men blocking instead of five. How much different can this offensive line look when you get PT back, when Peter Skoronski comes back? Like, how fixable is that? Let's just go ahead and admit this line sucks, and it has sucked since training camp. So what can we do to avoid that?
And they may not have Skoronski this week, it looks like, but based on the fact that, you know, I guess what he said, it was a lot more serious than some appendectomies can be.
Yeah,
right?
It was reported that there was one report that I saw that said his appendix burst, and then there was another report I saw that they caught it right on time. Whatever it was, Okay, this is coming out from TD. It says, Peter Skoronski said he lost some weight but is gaining his appetite back, also expanding what he can do in the weight room. It's a day-to-day basis. Mm. So you might get Peter Skoronski back this week. Eileen, if it's a day-to-day on Wednesday, you might not. But I think it's looking at, okay, week to week, because we can look at it from a 360-foot view of now it's week 10 and you, what, are 2-8. How fixable are the things right now before you just blow everything up, before you decide to trade the quarterback and the running back and, you know, put all the rookies in there?
Like, when you get back from
London.
How much
can you overcome your deficiencies?
Yeah, and I think that's what they have to show over the next few weeks. They've got to get a W or two at least in there and stay in the race for them to say, well, we're standing pat. We, you know, the back, if you can be a strong team in December, there's some winnable games down the stretch. Maybe you have a chance to play yourself in against the Jaguars in the last thing, just theoretical, right? But they have to show it. They have to do it. And I think you have to assess yourself as a squad when you come back from London, and then you've got the Falcons, who look like they could be a pretty decent team, and then you have the trade deadline. That's where I think you have to what kind of progress, like you said, Caroline, how do they look in addressing what went wrong on Sunday in particular? But really, what's been weaknesses for the first 3 weeks, are those getting better or are they not getting better? And if they're not getting better, if I'm Rand Carthon, I'd be a fool not to take it the other way.
Yeah, I mean, again, do they have an opportunity? Are they fixable? Are the problems that this team have fixable? I'm not sure because of the lack of depth. The only way this is fixable is if the guys that are broken, they fix them themselves. In a sense, I mean, they're not broken, but I'm saying they're not playing well. Then they got to find it within themselves to play better. And coaching can help. I don't know. But it's not like I can turn around and I got, you know, guys waiting in line that can really play to take your job. We don't, you know, and not many teams do, but this team really doesn't. You know, if you're talking from an offensive line standpoint, because it's like, okay, that's the glaring problem. Well, how do we fix it? Well, we can't bring it. Nicholas is coming back. Okay. That may help a little bit. Skoronski is eventually coming back. That may help a little bit. But is it going to help enough where we can be a consistent offense? We don't have to be the greatest offense in the world. We just need to be consistent.
Win games.
Yeah, we need to match some of what our defense is doing. And then on the back end, can we get better? Can we bring somebody else in? I don't know. That's the problem. It's like, yeah, we know there are issues, but it's like I can't. Either I'm going to fix it with that particular person, or I got to go get somebody new. And we know people are all pro and pro bowlers are not just sitting on the street waiting for somebody to call.
Show improvement.
That's what they have to do, show improvement.
What can you do against the Bengals this weekend?
That's why I say, listen, I'm not writing, by no means am I writing this season off, because I've seen seasons where you start off 1-3, 1-4, and you come back, you make a good run, you're in the playoffs. That added game to the schedule means a lot now for a lot of teams, not just the Titans. So I am not going to sit here and say all is lost, throw in the towel. But there is going to come a point where if you're not playing better football, you're not coaching better football, because I'm going to throw it all in together.
Coaching.
If you're not coaching better, if you're not playing better, then – you have to do what's necessary to make the team better. And it may be making the team better for the next following year and not necessarily for this season.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, hey, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, man, time's got problems and you got thoughts on it. So unless we have thoughts,
go to those phones.
To the phones. Rapid fire phones. Dustin in Hopkinsville, Texan, says, who cares about the fault? Rebuild the MF. Who cares about fault? Well, what do you mean? Let's say you got flies in your house. Instead of trying to take out the trash or maybe dust a little bit, let's just burn my house down. What do you mean, who cares about fault? Well, if the coach is the problem, then you're not going to rebuild the entire team and then rebuild it back up with the same coach. Let's just say, hey, the offensive line is really the biggest problem. Well, go out and get five new offensive linemen in the offseason, and then you can go from there. Who cares about fault? All of sports is fault. All of sports is blame and credit.
But you take the time that you have, right? I can remember the weeks leading up to the trade deadline for the Predators last year, and you guys were always asking the question, mm-hmm. okay, at what point do you say this team is not good enough to really achieve at a high, high level in the playoffs? And I would say, look, it doesn't look good. There's still time, but you have to assess where you are at the trade deadline. And they did get to that point, and they actually got to it earlier than maybe I thought they would. It was actually a couple weeks before, and they started the process. And still, there were people in that locker room and the coaching staff that were disappointed. They were like, hey, you know, we still could have done it. But that's what it's all about. But I'm not ready to burn the house down now like the caller is, even though he might in his mind say this team's not good enough. I can see that. That was a prevailing narrative, was it not, from a lot of the Predators fans last year. Hey, look, this team's just not good enough. They're not good enough. That was, and they were fighting against that, but at some point you got to prove everybody wrong with your play on the field. So you're now in that month window. It starts on Sunday. You got to prove to yourselves, to your fans, to the coaches, to the general manager, that what you saw on Sunday is not the real version of this team.
I think that you may have seen the worst of the worst against a really good defense.
Let's hope. Yeah.
Let me not speak too soon. JD and Brentwood Tixon says the NFL brainwashes folks with this phantom notion of parity. In reality, there are really only 4 to 5 legit Super Bowl contending teams who it makes sense to go for it. Last thing the league wants to see is teams dumping its players. And you don't see a rebuild in the NFL might like you see in other leagues.
It's hard.
It's really hard to rebuild. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea of parity is the worst team gets the best pick. You know, the best teams get the hardest schedules. And yes, there are teams like the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and the Bengals with Joe Burrow that when you have a really good quarterback, yes, you're going to consider yourself more of a contender. The Rams won the Super Bowl, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
How many games did they win last year?
I don't know, 3 or 4.
Not enough.
Not a lot.
Not enough. I mean, the league does want there to be parity, but there's always going to be, you know, 2, 3, 4 teams that just seem like they are head and shoulders above the other teams for that particular year. But that's why a Detroit Lions team that wasn't winning much 2 years ago, that's why they're able to, you know, sort of turn things around for themselves, because the NFL is always going to, now what you do with those opportunities mm-hmm. is up to your team. But the league as a whole gives you an opportunity every year to fix your roster. That's why they got free agency. That's why they got the draft. That's why they got trade deadlines. If they didn't want parity, they wouldn't have trade deadlines. There wouldn't be no trades during the season. If they didn't want to have parity, it wouldn't matter if your team finished last. You still wouldn't get the first pick. It'd be a lottery, so to speak. i.e. NBA. Mm-hmm. NBA don't want no parity. They want superstars. Exactly. They want superstars. So the NFL wants parity. That's what they want. And for the most part, you get it up into a point, and then the better teams start separating themselves. Again, this is what the league want. This is what they get each and every year. It always comes down to, for the most part, every division comes down to what? The last, what, 2 or 3 weeks of the season.
Another texter says, the attitude that a complete rebuild will take butts from seats, no, it doesn't. It shows a lot of us that you're doing what a successful organization does to build a team. You get new, fresh talent to watch, and you get to watch the future get brighter and brighter. I think that's a really good sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're one of those fans that supports no matter what because you're just excited about the future, that's wonderful. But let's be real. If you tear a team down and you lose consistent games, people don't want to go to those games anymore. People don't want to watch a losing team. There absolutely will be fewer butts in seats if you're bad than if you're good.
But they'll come back.
And when you get good again, they'll come back.
They'll come back. NFL fans and fans in general, I think. If you really love your team or you love sports, yeah, you may take a hiatus from your team because they're not winning. Maybe you choose to watch them from afar rather than being in the stadium. But the minute they start, you know, because it's all about, listen, if I'm going to support you, show me something to support. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say they're fair weather fans, because if you're putting a good product, then I'm going to pay to see it. If you're not putting a good product out there, I'm going to be loyal, but I'm just going to be loyal for my house where I don't have to pay, you know, $200 for a ticket.
And I don't blame
them. I don't blame them. So, listen, if you have to make those moves to take one step back, to take two steps forward, then okay. That's what you're going to have to do. Knowing that the fan base is going to come back. If you listen to, you can't make moves, all your moves, you know, based on what your fans say. But you do got to take into account, you know, how loud it's getting. Mm-hmm. You do have to take that into account.
You're still a business.
Yeah, you're still a business. But you can't make every move because one week they love you, then one week they hate you.
Like what Floyd always said, if you listen to the fans, pretty mm-hmm. soon you're sitting with the fans.
You're sitting right with them.
Jacob Texan says, what's really the difference between 2023 Tannehill and 2019 Mariota? I wasn't here in 2019. I wasn't covering the team in 2019. But that 2019, you know, the issue was Mariota. Mm-hmm. That's ultimately why, you know, Tannehill got the job and ran with it.
Yeah, because they felt that team, because that offensive line was much better then. Now, the defense, they had their problems back then, mm-hmm. But they were able to shore it up. So I think the problems are not the same that they were in 19 and what they are now. It was clearly Marcus had ran his course. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to build around the quarterback, but they couldn't do it, so they had to change. And it worked for a few years. It worked.
It was a huge boon. Yeah. Think about how many it's not games the same they've thing won right since now. They made that choice.
Yeah, it's not
that
the same.
Out of nowhere.
It's not the same problems right now.
First losing season last year.
Yeah, it's not the same problems now that it was back then.
Another texter texts in and says, at what points do the Titans throw in the towel? I feel like they just need a few good wins, not just squeaking by, but a few definitive wins. I'll take squeaking by.
How do the Titans win? They squeak by.
They squeak by.
They're not going to put up 40.
A lot of squeaking.
Not going to do it.
Yeah.
A lot of squeaking.
I'm not going to get, you know, greedy mm-hmm. here. A win is a win. And Vrabel always says it, and sometimes it makes me roll my eyes because he said it's hard to get wins in the National Football League. But it's true. Hey, if you win by 1 point, if you win off a walk-off field goal, great. Because mm-hmm. nobody cares about what the score was at the end of the day when you're looking back in the history books 10, 15 years from now. Nah. What matters is if you win and if you lose. Another texter says, if you weren't in the Nashville market, would you spend your hard-earned money to watch these Titans? Look, if fans want to spend your money to watch the Titans, do it. I'm not going to pocket watch.
If they win on Sunday and you ask that same question on Monday, what answer are you going to get? If they beat the Bengals.
Oh, I think you're going to be more optimistic.
You got to remember, it's one game. You're in this gloom and doom, mm-hmm. but one game can turn everybody's head back around. That's the nature of the NFL especially because, man, it is such a huge feeling that Sunday night, that Monday after, whether your team won or not.
But
your outlook changes so much. Yes.
But I think the fan base, they're tired of the roller coaster.
I get it.
They don't want the roller coaster. They want a smooth ride or as
good
smooth
luck.
As it can possibly be.
Buckle
good luck
up,
with that.
Because this is not going to be a smooth ride. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
People, love on your people. Peace.